When we were in Vegas, we had I had an interesting experience. I had an elder. I don't think I told this story before. I keep asking my wife, I don't remember which stories I've told. As time goes on, it just gets worse because I get older, you know. But I had one of my elders, I won't say his name, but he's long gone, so it might not make any difference, but he would kind of watch the front door and see who is coming to church. And when the black folk would come, he would tell them they were in the wrong church, the black folk church, or the black church is down the, you know, down this way, you take a right, you take a left, and it's down the street there. So he would send all the black folk to the black church. And I didn't realize this. So I came over, and I was going to get him in a headlock and give him a noogie. You know what a noogie is? And I said, why are you doing that? He says, well, the black church, we don't want the black folk here in our church. He says, you know, I remember getting on an airplane, and there was a black folk sitting in one of the chairs, and I sat down there, and he got it all greasy. What's this? We don't want our chairs all greasy. And he says, anyways, you know, our sermons are a little more, you know, intellectual, so they would probably do better at the other church anyways. Are you getting the point? And so, how do you say this? I had to talk with him a little bit, and I said, I want the black folk in our church. I want all the folk in our church. It doesn't matter what color or flavor they come in. And he was not really happy. When I was not around, he would send them off. And he says, well, he says, so I kind of said to him, I said, well, if I came to church, would you send me off? I would go to the Jewish church. And he'd smile, he'd say, it's okay, you're okay for a Jew. Do you know people like that? I hope it's not you. Can we be prejudiced as Christians? Oh yes, we can be. Is there a problem? Oh yes. When we get to heaven, who is going to be our neighbors? Do you know? God is going to surround us with people that we need to learn to like. You know, the Bible talks about this in a number of different places. So let's open our Bible. We're going to take a look at, and see what the Bible says. Assumptions, that's the title. We assume people are a certain way. We assume. Now, how do we get our assumptions anyways? Where do we get them from? Where do we get our assumptions from? Others. Our parents. Sometimes. You know, when I was in Detroit, we had desegregation because all the white folk lived in one part of the town and all the black folk lived in another part of the town. Nobody wanted to mix, okay? And if there was mixing, you might get a brick through your window or your window shot out. People didn't mix. But when they did desegregation, then I went to a high school with 30% blacks, 30% Jews, and 30% Arabs. And as kids, we said, who cares? I don't care what color you are. If I like you, I like you. We didn't think about it. But what actually happened is our parents would program us, well, you shouldn't like those kids. The prejudices of your parents tend to go down, and you tend to follow the prejudice of your parents because they teach you an awful lot about what you should like and what you shouldn't like. You know, when I was a kid, my dad said, don't hang around with those Christians because one day they're going to put you back in the concentration camp. My dad was pretty prejudiced against Christians, okay? And I would meet people who are prejudiced against, could you imagine, prejudiced against whites? Are there people prejudiced against whites? Are there whites prejudiced against people who are not white? Everybody's prejudice against everybody else. Do you know why we are prejudiced too? What does prejudice mean?
Prejudge.
You prejudge. Because we don't know anybody that's black or that's Hispanic or that's Asian. So we assume they're all whatever we've been taught. This is a real problem. This is a real problem. Romans chapter 2. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Does the Bible have anything to say with prejudice? What does that word mean? Prejudging. Okay? Prejudging. Now, if you just say judgmental, is that any better than prejudice? Prejudice means you judge them ahead of time. Judgmental means you judge them on the spot. Which is better? Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judge, or prejudge, however you want to word it. For in what you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge, do the same thing. Do we do the same thing? You know, really, this is condemning somebody being judgmental. If we are judgmental because somebody else does something that we don't like, or they look different, or they smell different, whatever it is, then we are doing the same thing. Okay? We are being judgmental. And if you're judgmental, I'm thinking how you would word this. God is love, isn't that true? So he could do none other than love. Man is, I want you to fill in the blank. If God is love, man with the Holy Spirit is love. Man without the Holy Spirit is hate. We don't like that word, hate. Hostility. So, I mean, we really need to think about this, because if we're going to be like Christ, we need to think twice. Go to Matthew. I mean, there's a lot of text. I'm just going to read a few. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 also talks about this. Have you been around judgmental people, critical people, people who find fault with everybody? Even if they're from your same race. Do you enjoy being around critical people? When you're around critical people, you're always feeling like you're walking on eggshells. You don't know if you're going to say something that's going to upset them. Did they wake up on the wrong side of the bed today? Or do they even have a right side of the bed ever? They're always on the wrong side of the bed. Okay? Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 1. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged." So what happens when we're judgmental? If I'm prejudiced to somebody else, even on this earth, somebody else will be prejudiced towards me. Is that fair? Is it fair when somebody's prejudiced towards you? You know, I mean, I hear church members telling dumb blonde jokes. Are all blondes dumb? See, I'm not even dealing with race here. I'm dealing with hair color, okay? I hear church members, man, I can really meddle now. I just like this. I can meddle. Jokes about Republicans, because I'm a Democrat. Jokes about Democrats, because I'm a Republican. Can politics get people into fist fights? How can I be a Christian and sit next to another Christian who is not what I am when it comes to politics? Now, you know, we're talking about unity in the church. This is a big issue. Everybody's fighting over women's ordination. Are you pro or are you con? And if you're con, or if you're pro, you're not the same as I am. Then you know what kind of person you are? This is the ultimate prejudice. Can I be in the same church with somebody I disagree with? Can we live together? Do we tolerate each other? Is that what Jesus did? Does he just tolerate us? God is that just toleration? Can I say God is tolerant? He is tolerant. But is that all he is? Does he say, well, I'll give you a 1 on a 1 to 10 scale, so you're okay? Okay, we need to think about what the Bible says. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you again. So if you treat people poorly because they look different, because they smell different, because their hair is blonde, because they're a woman, because they're a man, doesn't matter who it is, it's going to come back at you. If not on this earth, hopefully when we get to heaven. But I'm not sure how many prejudiced people God's going to take to heaven. Do you have any idea? Do all prejudiced people get to go, even if they're church members? Verse 3, why behold the speck that is in your brother's eyes, but don't consider the beam that is in your own eye? Okay, it's easy to find specks in other people's eyes, but it's hard to find beams when they're in your own eye, unless you look in the mirror. You have to look in the mirror, and that's the mirror is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Am I prejudiced? I meet a lot of people. I should tell this story. I went to one church, and the treasurer invited Karen and I to their house for lunch. I don't think I told this story before. And he said to me, I always smile at this, he said to me, we're so happy you're here. We like Jews, you know. I said, oh, well, that's good. I like them too. And he proceeded to tell us about how he really liked Jews, even though that, you know, they're not, you know, they're a little selfish and, you know, they're a little this way and they all have big noses and they all have more money than the rest of us anyways. I said, well, you've got me out. I'm off on two. My nose isn't that big and I have no money. So I'm not a very good Jew. I said, I wouldn't mind the money part. I don't know about the nose part. And they just laughed and they said, we're so glad we can have you. I don't know, did they say Israelites? You Israelites? You Hebrews, yes. We like the Hebrews. We're glad you're here. You know, after that meeting, I thought, you know, God forgive them. Because people don't really understand other people. And, you know, I could get really bitter and angry towards people who treat me poorly. Or I can say, Lord, I don't think they know what they're even talking about, you know? Anyway, so let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the speck out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your eye, you hypocrite. Should I read that one again? You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast the speck out of your brother's eye. So you need to do something before you can get rid of your prejudice. You need to ask God. You got to get on your knees and say, Lord, do I have a prejudice bone in my body? And if the Holy Spirit says no, you're not okay. The Holy Spirit won't say that because we are all prejudiced, some more, some less. So some are prejudiced, they just don't say anything. Yeah, I don't mind these people coming to church. I'm not sure if I'd invite them over to stay in my house for a week, but I don't mind if they come to church. I can put up with anybody for an hour or two. I shouldn't tell you what kind of things people say. Sometimes you know what people think without saying it. It doesn't make you less prejudiced. It just makes you more covert than overt. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 6. Now, it's interesting if you think about it. Prejudice, criticism, if you are critical, finding fault with people, fault finding, if you're condemning people all the time, they're all in the same family. They're all alike. You can say, well, I'm not prejudiced. But if you're a fault finder, you're prejudiced. If you find fault with people, if you're negative, if you're always looking for problems, if you never have anything positive to say, okay? Always a problem. If they would just do things like me, they'd be fine. Isn't that how it goes? Luke 6, starting with verse 35. Luke 6, starting with verse 35, it says, but love your enemies. Loving your enemies is not hard because your enemy is off in the distance somewhere. How about loving somebody that you have to live with all the time? Okay? Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great. And why will you have a great reward? Let's think about it. You shall be the children of the highest. Now, how do you become a children of the highest? Remember I was saying? We get prejudices from our parents. We are like our parents more than we'd like. As a matter of fact, one day you wake up and you look in the mirror and you say, it's my dad. I knew it. I look as ugly as he did. And I'm just as nasty as he is. What's wrong with me? Can we get beyond that? Sometimes we are upset with our parents because of the way they are or the way they were, and we don't realize how much we are like them. And this is where the Holy Spirit can work a miracle. See, you can be a new creature. Amen. If you want to be. And even if you don't want to be, the Holy Spirit can give you a want to be a new creature. So it says, love your enemies. And this is the kind of person that is a child of the highest. Why? In the last part of verse 35, it says, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. When I think of evil people, do I want to be kind to them? Can you think of somebody who's evil? Do you guys know any evil people? Would you like to be kind to them? Do you have to work at being kind to them? Part of the problem is we need Jesus in our heart. If he was in our heart, we wouldn't have to work at being kind to evil people or unthankful people. You ever been around unthankful people? This is the whining, complaining. I'm kind of telling you, this is what the kind of person's like. The whiner, the complainer, the fault finder. Are they easy to be around? I might not love them. Can God love them? Does God love them? Now see, this is where I was talking about. God is love, but you know what Dean is? He's just tolerant. And sometimes he isn't even that without the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into my heart, then I can really love somebody who is totally frustrating. And it's easy to do with the Holy Spirit. It's really hard to love somebody, difficult, without the Holy Spirit. And so I know if I have a problem with somebody and it's difficult, I don't have enough Holy Spirit. This is kind of a simple equation. Holy Spirit plus people makes somebody who's loving. Holy Spirit or people minus the Holy Spirit, I don't have to tell you what the equation equals. Let's keep reading here. So we want to be like our Father in heaven. What does it say? He's thankful, or he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So we need to be merciful. But what if I don't have it naturally? How many have mercy naturally? Anybody have natural mercy? I don't see any hands. I guess that's good. That means we need to get on our knees and say, Lord, help me to have mercy. I want to be like you. Help me to have mercy on ugly, frustrating people from the other culture, from the other side of the fence, the whatever person we're thinking of, the stupid person. You know, we like to label people. That's the stupid person. As a matter of fact, that's what this guy told me at the church. He said, well, blacks are just stupid. And I said, well, can you love stupid people? He says, I don't love stupid people. I don't like stupid people. I said, with God's help, maybe you can like them and love them all at the same time. He wasn't convinced. And he'd been a member all his life. Could you imagine going to a church like that with a member like that and being black? That's okay, Pastor. I'm not black. No problem. Wouldn't bother me too much because I'm not black. We don't like talking about this. Verse 37 says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. This is a repeat of all the other texts that we've been reading. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. We're talking about forgiveness today. Forgiveness is challenging sometimes. Can you say forgive them if somebody's treated you poorly? Now we can say, well, Pastor, I understand what people have gone through because, you know, I had things that weren't going well in my life. But you really can't understand somebody from a different culture, from a different background, unless you walk in their shoes. Isn't there a little saying there? You have to walk in their moccasins for a mile, and you can understand what they're going through. This is a challenge. It's not that easy. It's very difficult to do that because you can't walk in somebody else's shoes sometimes. Like it or not, I'm white, and I can hide the fact that I'm Jewish. So when it's convenient, I can be white, and all the white folk will like me. If I was black, it would be really difficult to be white. Do you follow what I'm saying? You're stuck. And it's the same with the Asians. It's the same with the Hispanics. It's the same with any culture. And in our culture in the United States, we live in the most prejudiced culture on this planet, I think. Now, maybe Europe beats us out a little bit. I don't know. But we are very prejudiced. We are very, you know, we say it's a mixing pot. No, it's not a mixing pot. We don't mix. We're like a stew with big chunks. The whites live here, the blacks live here, the Spanish live here, the Asians live here, the islanders live there. Everybody in their own community. We don't mix. Does that work in the church? Do you know why we have black conferences in our church? Should I bring out some of our problems? Do you know why we have black conferences in our churches and white conferences? Because we could not mix well. Is that a problem? Or is this just normal? When we get to heaven, are we going to have like Spanish heaven, Anglo heaven, black heaven? You follow what I'm saying? They might say, well, Pastor, it's okay because we don't have enough blacks around here to have a problem. But you know what I hear from people? Now, especially I can speak some Spanish, and I'm harassing the Anglos now, but I'll harass the Spanish too here a little bit in a minute. I hear people say, well, they're taking all our jobs. And maybe Trump is right. They're all crooks and criminals. I hear people saying that. How should I respond? I get them in a headlock and give them a noogie? I like that. Feels good. Is that true? Okay? It's not true. But we don't even know, many of us, because we don't socialize together. And our church is blessed because we have Hispanics and whites, and we don't have many blacks, unfortunately. That doesn't help us. But we have an opportunity to mingle, and we don't mingle that well. With God's help, maybe we can mingle better. But the Hispanics also have an issue because there's a little hostility towards the white folk. They're a little picky. They're touchy. They don't mind as long as you, you know, don't have to live with them. They're prejudiced on both sides. It's a sad story. But as Christians, can we get past this? And who do we start with? Well, we start with Jesus, but I'm talking about who gets to be the first one to get past this in the room here. Bob first? Me first. I go first. And I'm talking about this because I hear people fighting. It doesn't matter if you're a different race. I hear people fighting in our church over theology. And if you're on the other side of the theology fence, you're an idiot. Excuse my language. Is that a good word, church? Okay, you're a fool. Is that better? But I heard the other word. I don't want to be with those fools. I'll be over here with my own fools. Everybody's a fool. Everybody likes to fight and argue about something. And see, you know, the Bible says don't judge. It doesn't matter what kind of issues you're dealing with. Don't judge at all. Don't judge at all. Okay? Let's go back to where we were. Let's go to this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. You know, before we move off from Luke, we need to be merciful, just like God is to everybody. Is God merciful to everybody? Amen. We need to have that mercy. And when we don't find mercy in our hearts, we need to get on our knees and say, Lord, start with me. Help me to be open, to socialize, to hang around, to even say hello to somebody who is not in my class or my group. Okay? Help me to be willing to be like you. Hang around with people who are way different than I am. Hang around with people who look different. Hang around with people who believe different. Okay? Even in our church, I run into people who say, I ain't going to hang around with the people who are the women ordainers, those liberals. And then I find the conservatives who say, I ain't going to hang around with those. The other group. Does it matter which group it is? The devil will find you a group to hate anytime you want. As a matter of fact, he will find you a group to hate all the time. If it's not the ordainers and the non-ordainers, it'll be some other group. You know, the people who believe in, you know, the Trinity, people who don't believe in the Trinity will fight against somebody, will argue with somebody. And you know what happens to all the people who come to visit our church while they watch all this happen? They say, I thought the Seventh-day Adventist church had the truth. I don't think they do. Because it hasn't changed to one of them. Am I a dedicated Seventh-day Adventist? Then I should be open to socialize and mingle with anybody. Did Jesus mingle with people that were different than him? First Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 5, I was asking God what I should talk about. And I thought, maybe this is it, because our church is splitting up. We're about ready to have two different Adventist churches. Because everybody hates each other. Everybody's critical. Everybody's judging each other on all sorts of issues. Some main issues. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the time. Now, what time is he referring to? Think about it. Judge nothing before the time. It's the next verse. Until the Lord comes. In other words, don't judge anything until Jesus comes. Because when Jesus comes, he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. If you don't know what people are thinking, what their motive is, he'll make that clear then. He will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. He will let you know what's going on in people's hearts. Then men will have praise of God, or they'll be on the wrong side of the fence. It'll be all clear then. Don't judge anything before that time. Don't be judgmental. Do you know what's going on in the heart of people? Do you know what your neighbor really is feeling? Do you understand what I'm saying? The challenge is understanding people who are very different than us. I can't understand, and I have to be honest, I can't understand what the black guy feels. I know what they've gone through. I've had a lot of black friends. Matter of fact, when I was in Detroit, as kids, we were all friends. Hey, bro, you know, I mean, it was, we didn't think about it until our parents got us thinking about it. Well, you're supposed to hate those folks. But as kids, we didn't think about it. How many here are brought up with kids from all different colors and hues, and you didn't even care as a kid? Problem is, we grow up. And I don't know, do we get smarter when we get older? We should be getting smarter, more Christ-like, but sometimes we get more stubborn and difficult. We do not know. We only look at the surface, okay? This is our assumptions. We look at the surface, okay? So what happens when you look at the surface of something? What do you see? You don't know. You don't see much. Can you judge a book by its cover? Can you judge a person by its cover? Their cover, his cover, her cover. You know, you get all sorts of interesting things happening, and it's really hard to know, but it's really simple. If you can tell if you're Christ-like or not by a real simple test, okay? If you are cold and critical of anybody, you are unconverted. So just think about your life. Have you been cold to people for any reason at all? Have you kind of held them at hands different distance? You know, oh man, I don't like them because they're not as rich as I am. I don't like them because they're not as poor as I am. Doesn't make any difference. They can't all be pretty like us, can they? Got that from Karen's family. Was there any prejudice in your family, Karen? Oh, I won't tell stories. I'll tell one story. Her dad, I love her dad, and you won't understand this unless you're older than 40. He thought he was John Wayne, but he was really Archie Bunker. I have the young people say, "Who's Archie Bunker?" I remember spending some time with Karen's family, and Karen's dad, I love Karen's dad. He had a big heart. He was really prejudiced, talked prejudice. I think he did it just to be cool. But when it came to helping somebody, he would drive 2 or 3 hours to help you out, fix your car, and get you going. Doesn't matter what color you were. Okay, but he had all these horrible jokes. And the Jewish jokes, he'd say, okay, I'll tell you the Polish jokes instead of the Jewish jokes. Thank you, Bill. But he hated my beard. Well, actually, he didn't like ministers. He didn't like hippies. And I was a hippie because I had a beard. I had a backpack, too. Just imagine. And I wasn't employed when I first came home to talk with Karen. So I was a lazy hippie bum. So he got his straight razor out, and a little leather strap. He sharpened that up. He says, "Come here, boy, I'll shave that mess off your face. Get that mess off your face." I had a lot of fun with Bill. What's that? No, he didn't. I said, "You ain't touching my face." I could tell more stories, but Bill was... he was a character. And, you know, Karen, actually, when she was younger, before I met her, her dad would come to the door with his bazooka, actually. Yeah, his 45. And he'd say, "You're bringing my daughter home in one piece, aren't you?" So I had a lot of fun with Bill. I liked Bill. I couldn't hug him. He wouldn't let me go that far, you know. But you know, he had a big heart. He had a big heart. And you just don't know it, because some people are so, how do you word this? The prejudiced people in your life, if you can get past all the externals, if you can get past the judging them by their externals, you'll find that many of them have a big heart and they just don't know it. It's just not cool to be that way. He would tell me, I would say, "Well, Bill, I'm going to go for a hike." He says, "Only sissies hike." He says, "We go hunting." And I says, "And how many deer have you gotten in the last 10 years? He says, "Well, not too many." I said, "You just are hiking with your gun." He says, "No, we don't hike, we hunt. Only sissies hike." I got a kick out of Bill. He was a good man. He was a good man. So, but see, we judge people by the outside. We judge people by the outside. Even the prejudiced people. Can you like a prejudiced person? Can you like a chauvinist, ladies? God can help you love people who are really... What did God say? He loves the unthankful and the evil folk? Can I do this? Let me tell you a story. Karen, we were in a church. I won't tell you where this is at, but I'll tell you the state. We were in a church in California how many years ago? 30-plus years ago. And we used to hang around with the church family. And there was one family that we hung around with, and they had, what, 3 kids? There was a little girl and a couple boys, and I think the little girl was, what, 10 years old? 8 years old, something like that. And we hadn't seen them for 35 years, okay? That was in 86, wasn't it? So do the math. 96, 106, that's about 32 years. And Karen was on Facebook. Now, you know Facebook, all-seeing, all-knowing. You just get on Facebook and you know everything about everybody. So, she's on Facebook and she's talking. I got to get these details straight. She's chatting with people and all of a sudden... Trying to remember all the details on the story. If I get it wrong, you can tell me on the way home. So she's chatting with people, and all of a sudden, some message pops up, "Karen Lifshay, I haven't heard that name in forever." And Karen said, "Well, who is this?" And I won't say the person's name, I'll just say the person's name was John. She says, "John? I don't know any Johns." "Well, you remember us from so-and-so place?" And they said, she says, "I don't know any Johns." And she says, "Well, you might remember me by my old name. It was Melinda. And now my name is John. And please refer to me as a he." So Karen says, "Okay, I know who you are now." And he says, "Can I call you on the phone?" And so Karen got off Facebook and said, "Guess who's going to call?" And I, "Well, who's going to call? Oh, that I remember her. She was a little girl, like 10 years old. Well, now she's not a little girl, and she's a he now. I said, "Oh, okay." So he calls Karen, and they have a really good chat. Now, I can be very prejudiced, can't I? I can say, "What's wrong with this person? Don't they know the way God created them? All you got to do is look in the mirror, right? You know what side of the fence you're supposed to be on." Or I can say, "God loves everybody just the way they are. even if not just the way they were, can we love people in whatever form they come? Even if it might not be the ideal form. You follow? So Karen had a really good talk with him. Okay? And it was a real blessing, because Karen said, she got off the phone, I said, you know what she told me? She says she was going to some church near Portland, won't tell you which church, and the church was an Adventist church. This person was brought up Adventist, but the church was too liberal. They didn't like the liberal church. They wanted a more conservative Adventist church. Okay? So they went to a different church, and it didn't fit, so they went to what kind of church was it? A Messianic church, okay? Jewish Messianic church, which was probably more conservative as well. And this person was very happy. And then they were thinking about it, and they watched somebody's testimony on how they had changed from one sex to another, and they said, that was it. I knew that was for me. That was really where I was at. So they did this sex change, went to the doctor and got the chemicals, and they're going to go through the whole process. And the church they were in kind of threw them out. So now they're churchless, looking around for a church group that will accept them. Just as is. And the thing that was nice is that this person felt comfortable with Karen telling her all of this, feeling like, I know Karen, she's going to treat me fairly and she's going to love me no matter what I tell her. And I thought, Karen, you should count your blessings that people feel that you are the kind of person they can confide in and tell all their circumstances and not feel uncomfortable. I'm sorry, say that again. No, it doesn't mean you're endorsing their choices, but it does mean you're treating them with respect. You're treating them as, how would God treat this person? Okay? Does God take them and throw them out in the garbage heap? No. This person was telling Karen how they really were very much closer to God and how they were mingling now with the sex change people, and they've been able to witness about Jesus to all these different people who've never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus amongst the sex change group. Now, I don't socialize with the sex change group very often, but this person does because they're in that group. And now they have an opportunity to tell how they love Jesus. Now, I can say, wait a minute. How in the world can you love Jesus and do this to yourself? Do you ever think that? Can somebody love Jesus even though they're not stellar in all points? You follow what I'm saying? Now, I can say, well, I don't have that problem. I don't have a sexual issue like that. I just have a different problem. But my problem is church acceptable. You know, I'm a glutton. Everybody's glutton in church. That's not a problem. I watch all garbage on TV, but that's not a problem because the elder watches those too, so that's no problem. Karen and I have when she was younger, she was brought up with a family, and there's one of them, I guess more than one, are gay, okay? Friends from her childhood, so they came to visit. Her and her partner. And they came to stay at our house. And I was outside talking with them. We're looking around outside. You know, we're in Idaho. This was in Idaho. And we're out on 5 acres. So we're out looking around at the scenery. And I said, so tell me, how did Christians treat you? And she says, oh, you don't want to hear that. She says, don't they work at like a nuclear plant or something like that? What's that? Oil refinery, okay? In Montana, two gay ladies that work in an oil refinery in Montana. Just imagine all the guys. I said, so how do they treat you? She says, oh, we first got there, it wasn't good. But as time went on, they realized we can be one of the guys. Type of thing, okay? Anyways, the thing is that I asked them, I said, well, how do Christians treat you? And they say, oh, they pigeonhole us. They think we're all, you know, horrible, wicked. And I said, and they said, well, they said, but you're different. I said, I am. They said, well, you let us stay at your house. You eat dinner with us. You treat us like we're family. And when she got done telling me that, I said, I don't deserve this compliment. Do you know why I don't deserve that compliment? Because I'm like the rest of you. I think, well, they should just be normal like me. But they're not. Can I love them just the same? Can God love them? Now, he's going to make the decision who gets to go to heaven. And I'm not going to, you know what the Bible says? It says, don't judge anything before the time. I'm leaving that in God's hands. He can decide what to do with them he will decide what to do with them. Okay? But the question is, what's God going to do with me? And how am I going to treat people who are different than me? And how am I going to treat people who are very different than me? Like it or not, I can be very judgmental and say, you know what the Bible says? You're not supposed to do this. Or I can say, they've already heard that from 10,000 Christians. Do I have to repeat it? No, I don't have to say any of that. But they haven't heard, what they haven't heard is that Jesus loves you and I do too. And I love you so much, you can come and stay at my house. And you can eat dinner with me. And you can play with the kids. And you're one of the family. That's what they haven't heard. How many would like to give that message to somebody that hasn't heard that message in a long time? Raise your hands. It's a hard message. But the hard message is not for the people out there. The hard message is for me and for us. Am I willing to spend time with anybody, even the people who are not like me, even the people who are very different than me? This is how Jesus reached the world. Are we going to reach the world? Do we have a world? Just think of Hermiston. Just in Hermiston, do we have a variety of people? I hear people all the time that are Adventist church members. They've been Adventist church members all their life. And I tell some of these stories, and they come up and they say, Pastor, my son just came out a couple years ago. My daughter just came out. You know what it means to come out? It means you say, I'm gay, and I'm proud of it. Okay? How do we reach them? How do you reach gay people? How do you reach trans people? How do you reach people who are different than you? You know, it's really simple. How do you reach people who are different? Point them to Jesus. You love them like Jesus would. You really have to say, Lord, help me to be love like you are. I'm usually hate. And I need to be different because I want to reach the world for you. And I will love them, and you send your Holy Spirit to convict them on whatever changes they need to make. That's your business, not my business. I'm going to love them just the way they come, and you work on their hearts, and whatever changes need to be made, you make it. But until then, I keep loving them just the same. That's the kind of person I want to be. Would you pray for me? because I'm as prejudiced as all the rest of you. And I need God to help me with my prejudice, as well as I need to pray for you and have God help you with your prejudice too. So those who would like to pray for each other, let's stand. Let's all stand, those who are able. And let's have prayer. Lord, we just thank you for the people that you send our way. All the kinds of people, every kind of person. And Lord, I just pray you'd start with me, that you would work on my heart. Help me to be like you. Help me to be willing to socialize, to spend time with, to love, to go the extra mile for anybody that comes my way. Whatever flavor they come in, whatever culture they come from, however different they are. I just pray, Lord, also for everyone standing here, that your Holy Spirit would convict us of sin, help us to be the kind of Christians that the gay folk don't meet very often. Help us to be the kind of Christians that the people from other countries don't get to meet very often. Help us to be the kind of Christians that are not like other Christians, but that are like Jesus. Change our hearts, Lord. We don't want to be Christians that really is not Christianity. We want to be true Christians. We want real Christianity in our church. We want real Christianity in our heart. When you come again, Lord, fake Christianity is not going to make it. The only way we're going to make it into your kingdom is when you completely change us, make us new creatures, totally like you. Please do that, Lord. And if we're stubbornly saying, no, I don't want to change, do whatever needs to be done to change us, Lord. We just pray that you would do this and do it today. In Jesus' name, amen.